Welcome to the For Those Who Inquired podcast. I am your host, Edward Marlowe, here in Murray, Kentucky, in my home studio here in my office here on Kirkwood Drive. And with me on the phone, on the Google Voice, is Aaron Clayton, board op at WCBL and a Callaway County native. He's been doing it a long time, about 10, 15 years. Might be doing it another 10, 15 more. Who knows? Maybe he's here to tell us that. But Aaron, always glad to have you on the show. This is actually the first time we've had you on the show, but it might not be the last. How are you, man?
Doing just fine, Ed. Appreciate you having me on. Yeah, we've talked a lot about being on this podcast together, and I've listened to you and Neil for many, many weeks, for that matter, now months, and you do a great job, and it's an honor to be on the show with you.
Well, we appreciate it, man. Neil has got grandfather duties this week, so we haven't been able to have a show, but definitely wanted to get something going as we wind down this sports season, you know, and what a wild sports season we've had just in the last 3 to 4 months as basketball has wound down and baseball and softball have wound up. And so, you know, obviously you've been involved with a lot of that with the Lions, with some of Marshall County, and a little bit of everything in between. And you still had your duties at Murray State amidst all of that with men's and women's basketball PA announcing at the CFSB Center in Murray. So, you know, clearly it's been busy. It's been a busy time. Just in your mind and in your emotions, what's it been like for you to get back on the sidelines after missing a lot of last season with spring sports and things like that? What's that been like for you to kind of get back in this rhythm?
It's been really a whirlwind. Again, for me, it started the day the pandemic really shut everything down, March the 12th. I can remember that clearly because the Lady Marshals were in Rupp Arena about to play Henderson County in the state tournament in 2020. Everything went down from there. And from there on out, no sports were called until I got back into it in August, late August for that matter, early September with Marshall County Soccer because, again, we did not know we were going to have any sports at all in the 2020-21 season, which we're still in right now. But luckily, we were able to get every sport going, and that's so great for all the high school athletes, student athletes, to be able to do that. So I started with Marshall County Soccer in late August, early September, and Marshall County Football at that time. And for football, that was a new head coach having to come in. Here he gets hired a month before the pandemic hits, and Steve Etheridge has no time for spring ball, has no time to learn his new team. So I credit him a lot to get the 3 wins he got last year and the grounds he's made on improving this team. I believe we're really going to show off come this fall in year number 2 with the returning senior quarterback and Quinn Smith and so many other great players. I know Cameron Bowerman, and there's many, many other guys I could talk about for a long time there, but that's going to be a great team. Marshall County Soccer, again, a new head coach there with Brian Blevins.
Yeah.
Was able to have a great first year. Only had one goal losses in any of the losses. Unfortunately, one of those was in the region championship to McCracken County after they had tied earlier in the year in a great finals. So the Lady Marshall soccer team, again, winning the region championship, working with Caleb King on that broadcast. So just getting back in that first month or so was really just kind of odd. Nobody was really at the games except parents and even that. Again, masked up, temperature screenings, health checks.
Yeah.
And in paperwork that we never did before, sitting in places that we never had before. So that was really odd. Again, Murray State football got pushed back to the spring, so I was only doing high school through the early fall months in September and October.
Right.
Got through football and soccer for that matter. Then November came, and then it was a big whirlwind. Then you had college basketball get started back with Murray State men's and women's PA. That was really different. I mean, it was beyond, you cannot ever discredit the Ohio Conference rules on being not safe enough. They went and took every precaution and then above and beyond on top of that because we had plexiglass, we had face shields, we had face masks, we had constant sanitizing, we had social distancing. So it was really, really different for the basketball teams. And I know that affected them in a very big way as well. Both teams, I believe, had their highs and lows. I know Coach Turner and the women's team did a great job throughout the season, improving day by day. And she only is bringing in more great players, a lot of local players. We'll talk about, and then Coach McMahon, we know just the struggles of just not being able to have that summertime together to get the season going and then being able to finally get on the court with the talent being there. It just seemed like the chemistry wasn't there all the time, and that may have led to what we know as even a 500 season was disappointing for Murray State fans, but it was still fun to be a part of it. And really what's been fun for me was the high school basketball season, calling for Lyon County.
Yeah.
The Lyon County boys having their best regular season in 30 years. 22-4 was the final record. Again, did get beat by Hopkinsville and be able to run the region tournament by 2, but had beaten everybody in the region throughout the year. And even with the COVID precautions, it was still just a blast, a pleasure to get out there every single night and call the boys, and for that matter, the girls, and my good friend Jeff Doom, who will be a part of my wedding ceremony here in a week's time, in his final season as the head coach of the Lady Lions. In a disappointing fashion, didn't go as far as we would have liked to, lost on the last second shot to Trigg County in the district semifinals, but still, even with that, though, it was a fantastic year to be with him. And then while that was going on, my good friend Jeff Waters calling Marshall County Sports, the basketball team for the boys, making it to the region tournament. And then the girls, of course, the unbelievable run to the state championship game. And you and I talked when the season started. We knew the talent was there for the Lady Marshals. And we said they can win this whole thing. And they were 1 second away from winning this whole thing. Foul or not, it doesn't matter, because it was still not taken away from how great this season was for the Lady Marshals. And Region 1 Player of the Year in Casey Connor, and now Murray State signee. And now, again, that overlap with baseball and softball. So here we're finishing up basketball.
Right.
The day after I finished Lyon County, I'm calling Marshall County softball with missing half a team, and Marshall County baseball. And then finally, a couple of weeks in, the rest of the basketball girls get back to play softball. So this is kind of maybe the first normalcy I felt since we started, because nothing's overlapping. It's just baseball, softball. A lot of the restrictions have been lifted or eased back, so it feels now more normal than I guess it has been since we ended the basketball season in 2020.
It is wild. I don't want to take anything from what you just did. For those who are inquired and for those who are listening, that was not scripted. That was Aaron Clayton going into a solid 9-minute diatribe of the sports world, and I'm not attacking. That was fantastic. You legitimately have, in the quickest way you possibly could, talked about what this whole year has been like, from the March 2020 situation where everybody was getting ready to play at Rupp Arena in Lexington, all the way to yesterday. Basically, you have encapsulated, described beautifully, artfully, what this last year has been like, just in your world, what it's like to have been involved with Murray State Athletics, especially football, basketball, men's and women's, and then what it's been like to be attached to both Lyon County and Marshall County Athletics, just this last year. And it's crazy. You were able to, as succinctly as possible, describe 12 months of changes, both good and bad, and some in between, for all of those programs. And you're right. It's wild, you know, where Marshall County girls basketball was last year. What a marker that will always be in their lives, getting ready to take the floor against a Henderson County team that, man, for the love of God, was amazing that we got to see them play them again all these months later for a chance to go to the championship. And what a game that was for the Lady Marshals, breaking a state record in field goal percentage. I mean, how can you put up 16 shots and win that game so effectively? Well, it's what happens when you shoot 75% from the field. So, unbelievable performance, but it's just so crazy to see those two bookends. You know, one bookend, not knowing when sports are going to come back, versus where we are now, which is May 8th, 2021, and we've had all of these things transpire. We've had a college basketball season, a soccer season, volleyball, baseball is, you know, right in the middle of things, softball. You know, it's just high school football. It's wild that all of those things, and I don't even know, maybe I said volleyball, but I'll just add it. We've had all of those things now transpire under different circumstances. And you have seen a lot of this up close and personal, as part of the voice of the Lady Marshals, and Marshals, athletics, and like I said, PA of Murray State. So it's just really interesting, the introspection that you're able to give. Maybe a lot of fans don't get a chance to see that. From their perspective, you know, it was just like, well, we finally got to see some sports. From our perspective, from media's perspective, things were very difficult this year, without a doubt.
Yeah, they really were, and I forgot to even mention, we did mention it briefly beforehand, but Murray State football, of course, a whole new season and a whole different time of the year.
Yeah.
And Dean Hood had to wait a year and a half, essentially, after being hired to even play a football game. And then here we have the best season in nearly two decades. And I hate that it did not end with an Ohio Valley Conference championship, because I do believe this was the best team in the conference. And I will say unequivocally that this fall, your champions are going to be Murray State University in football. There's no doubt about it. With bringing everybody back that they have, and with this staff now having a season, even a modified season under their belt, start out 5-0, every award, every accolade that Murray State individually and as a team received on the football gridiron this year Well deserved. It was such a pleasure to be able to be the PA announcer for an Ohio Valley Conference championship game, a legit championship game between the Bills and top 15 Jacksonville State. And while Jacksonville did come out on the winning end, still that does not take away from how great this season was. A down to the wire, last second loss to Austin Peay, which had they won that game, would have won a share of the title, probably would have gotten that large bid into the FCS playoffs that are going on right now. But even with that, Murray State football, to be able to have to wait longer than anybody, essentially, to get on the field with the coaching staff, to have to push your season back to the spring, that is a testament that I don't believe can be underscored one bit whatsoever, that Dean Hood and this football program is only going onward and upward, and I cannot wait to see how well they will compete in the fall. And, yes, even though Jacksonville State and Eastern Kentucky will not be there, and we will have other OVC teams, I'm sure, announced here soon, Murray State, without a doubt, definitely the favorite, in my opinion, going into the fall of 2021.
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily an unfair way to put it. There's certainly, we can talk a little bit about that. Murray State football will return a lot of its top talent, for the fall, you know, and, you know, knock on some wood here, Lord willing, everybody's healthy, coming out of fall camp and things like that. You're Preston Rice, you're LaMarchez Brooks, you're DeMonta Weatherspoons, you know, look at that defense with Alec Long and all the pieces around that, Eric Samuda, you definitely hope. You'll have some graduation take a toll, on some of the key leaders, in that locker room, some of the voices, but it's a relatively small senior class. So you've got a lot of young, proven talent that now has had roughly 18 months to learn this system, which I think maybe in some ways was a blessing in disguise. You had some time to learn Hood and his staff system, but the season kept getting pushed back and the season kept getting pushed back. And all of a sudden it's just like, well, when are we ever going to play football? And then they put together a spring that, yeah, you said it best. I mean, absolutely, was one of the more memorable seasons in recent memory, just even in the last 15, 20 years, you know, because it's been a long time since Racer football had started 5-0 in conference.
1995. Yeah. 95 was the last time. I mean, again, that was an 11-0 start with Coach Nutt at that time, you know, went to the NCAA tournament and back-to-back years. But we're going to be just fine. There's no doubt about how good football is going to be in the fall. Or Coach Hood, and it was a blast to be a part of that.
I want to get just a little personal here. You know, you've been with WCVL now 14 and a half years, going on 15, and who knows, maybe another 15, you know, whatever opportunities lay in front of us. You know, sometimes you just never know where life is going to take you. But you started at WCVL when you were in high school at Callaway County. What on earth gets a high school student interested in the radio world, particularly you? What got you so touched into that realm and that reality to want to turn it into a career?
Well, it's definitely the personal side of it for me, because even as a young man, for me personally, it was always about sports and being around my grandfather, who has since passed away. That was my dad's dad. He passed away in 2006, so he never actually got to hear me on the radio, but growing up, we would listen to WCBL, and not to make my coworker Jeff Waters feel old, but we'd listen to Jeff, and we'd listen to Jim Freeland, the owner, and we'd listen to guys like Sam Rickman and Jeff Parker call those games, and even my cousin Brian Lovett, he would call for the Lady Marshall some, and we would always sit around the house in Benton, that's where he lived, and we would listen to Marshall County sports. Specifically, we'd listen to Marshall County basketball, and then we'd listen to Cardinals baseball on WCBL. And we listened to UK basketball on WCBL, and that was our time together. He was a great man, deacon of the church, missionary, carpenter, always had time for others, but in his downtime, it was supporting sports, local sports for Marshall County, and then, of course, watching Kentucky and the St. Louis Cardinals. So that was what I grew up listening to, was WCBL as a kid when I was around him. So, and I love sports, and I knew I didn't have the athleticism necessarily to be able to play the sports beyond anything in the high school level. So I thought, if I'm going to be around sports for the long term, I'm going to have to go the route of announcing these games, you know, or, you know, I either have to be an official or announce the games. And I didn't want to be an official. Those guys and girls, they do a great job and don't get the credit and pay they deserve because they take a lot of flack. So I thought, I'm going to have to announce these games. So as a middle schooler going into high school, I was with the speech and debate team with Callaway County. Middle school, early high school, I didn't necessarily have the voice until my voice changed and dropped. I had a very flutist flute-esque voice, to say the least. It was very high-pitched, to say the least, through my sophomore year of high school.
I did too, you know. God bless puberty, but yeah, no, I got you. Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, they were like, oh, you don't need to do that. And then my junior year came around and my voice, they said, maybe you should do that. So I stuck with broadcasting and storytelling and extemporaneous speaking and declamation, stuff of that nature. So a lot of speech writing, and broadcasting and storytelling. I did that throughout high school and did well, through my senior year. I'll never forget Callaway County went through a lot of speech team coaches there, but throughout my high school, it was near the point where we didn't have much of a team up going to my senior year, and Michael Robinson really came in and helped that program get back up and going on. I'll always be a credit to him. He's filled in for me, doing PA for Murray State, doing PA for Murray High. He's from Murray, went to Murray High School, went to the University of Missouri, and majored in, of course, education and communications.
Right.
And he is fantastic. Fantastic speech and debate coach. He's taken to Murray High, the levels they've never seen in their speech and debate program, and took Callaway County to good heights that they've not seen since the 80s. Of course, Callaway County has one of the most historic speech and debate programs, not when I was there, but I'm not saying that for me. I'm talking about back in the 80s and 90s, and Coach Larry England, it was state championship after state championship. I mean, they were the New England Patriots of speech and debate for many, many years.
That's wild,
They had great people on that team, such as W. Earl Brown, but of course the famous actor from Murray. He was on the Callaway County speech and debate team in the early 1980s. Amy Watson was on the speech and debate team, now anchor in Nashville, formerly from Paducah. So, Callaway County's had some great speech and debate team members over the years. So that's where I got to start. And going to WCBL, I had a friend named Alan Flood. He was a year older than me. He graduated in 2006. I graduated in 2007.
Right.
In Callaway County, and he had been at WCBL for a few months in early 2007. In 2006, I had went by with my grandfather, who was still alive at the time, to meet Jim Freeland just to see if I could ever just kind of pal around with Jeff Waters or come around the station just to learn things, not even necessarily looking for a even part-time job at the time, just to kind of be an assistant and apprentice and just kind of learn the ropes. But then my grandfather passed away, and that dream kind of just faded off into the sunset, or so I thought. And then, as we said, Alan Flood came to me in March of 07, said, I'm leaving. Would you like a shot at taking my job at CBL as the afternoon dish jockey? I said, absolutely. So they interviewed me. Of course, I had no prior experience.
Right.
They were kind of wanting me to stay on part-time, see if it would work out, but they needed to find somebody. So eventually, Alan convinced them, hey, take a chance on this guy, and they did. And second week of April of 2007, I jumped into the broadcast booth. Played Chicago No-Tell Lover, and I've been there ever since. So, I never forget it. That was the first song I ever played, and I've been there ever since. At that time, I was simply the afternoon disc jockey and would make the production logs for the next day, record the overnight weather and liners, and that was pretty much it. And then when the fall came around, of course, I came in April, so high school sports season was ending. Basketball was done at that time. We didn't carry baseball, softball at that time for high school, so we were just carrying the St. Louis Cardinals. So I didn't get to get the fill of high school sports for the fall with Marshall County football in 07, and that was one of their better teams they ever had. That was a team that went all the way to the state quarterfinals with Alan Williams, one of the better running backs that this area has ever seen. And Stephen Bargy was the quarterback on that team. Brandon Walker had so many great players on that 07 Marshall County team in the fall. Scott Shelton's first year taking for Michael Austin went all the way to the state quarterfinals, made it all the way to the Elite Eight of the state tournament. In 6A, and that was the last time that Marshall had won a game in the playoffs and won that many games in the season. I believe we're going to get back to that point again, but got to run that, got to run, of course, Marshall County basketball with Jeremy Rose and Jeff Waters in that winter time, and that kind of kept me going. I was on the board, but I wanted to call games. I wanted to be on the mic. So finally, in the fall of 08, I got my chance. We have a sister station, WCBL does, and that's WCCK in Calvert City, 95.7.
Right.
We carry Marshall County soccer, and we're the only radio station in the state that carries soccer full-time, and one of only about two or three that carries it at all. So I got to get on there with Gale Hall from Calvert City, and he allowed me to broadcast alongside him for the Marshall County boys soccer team. And in 09, I took over with that time, and I had a great color commentator, and he was so great, I only got to have him for 1 year, and that was Andy Pagel, because Andy Pagel became the boys head soccer coach the next year.
Oh, my goodness.
To be the associate head coach with Michael Boone, just so he can coach his daughter
on the girls' soccer team. But
yeah,
I learned pretty much everything I know about soccer. I learned from that 1 year from Andy Pagel, and I'll never be and I'll never forget that, and be forever grateful for that. So I've been calling soccer the longest of any sport from 08 to now. Still calling the boys soccer. And I've also called the girls for a couple of years, but I'm a Kyle Johnson now calling boys soccer, and Caleb King has stepped in to help me with the girls program. And then, but basketball was always my first love. I love basketball, especially Kentucky high school basketball. The first job I ever got calling a basketball was not actually high school. The first time I ever called a basketball game on the radio was for WCBL. We had a long-running advertising sponsorship with Mid-Continent University. Unfortunately, before Mid-Continent shut down, Winston Bennett was the head coach.
That's right.
I went over and I broadcast two Mid-Continent University collegiate basketball games. And those tapes, if they're still around, they should be burned, because Lord knows how bad that broadcast was. But because that was my very first broadcast. So, but at least I got my feet wet. And so anyway, that was kind of the 2010-2011 season. And then the next year, the opportunity broke for me in the fall of 2011. Actually, it was kind of late summer. And Cindy Riley, who's still with the radio station as an advertising rep, said, "Would you like to call basketball full-time?" And I said, "Absolutely. Tell me where I'm going." She said, "Lyon County." And I said, "You got to be kidding me." And I said, "Lyon County." I said, "All they got there is a water park and a lake." And I said, "What the heck?" I said, "Ty Rogers played there. That's about the only thing I ever knew about Lyon County."
That's right.
Needless to say, Lyon County has become as close to me as about anything that this good Lord's given me on this earth in the last decade. So,
right.
I've got ink on my arm to prove that. So that's, me and Lyon County have been tight ever since. A lot of that's credit, as we just said earlier in the broadcast, with Jeff Doon. He was the first man I met. Cindy said, "Let's go over there to the high school, just meet the coaches," kind of walk around. I said, "Okay." I met Coach Jeff Embry, who was the head boys coach at the time.
Right.
Nice gentleman and a longtime coach in Indiana and Kentucky. And then they said, "Let's go meet Coach Doon." And I'll never forget, before I left the radio station, Jeff Waters, who's from Lyon County, and grew up there and called the games at Lyon County in the late 80s, early 90s, when they had that big run like they're having now. He said, "Oh, you get to work with Jeff Doon." He said, "You'll love him." I said, "Okay." And of course, I didn't know who Jeff Doon was at the time. Well, I found out who Jeff Doon was pretty quickly. As I got to meet him, and he pulled me into his classroom. He was in the middle of class. It was like in late September. And he pulled me in and said, "This guy right here is going to be the voice of the Lions. He's going to be the best thing." And, just really, pumping me up. And I thought, this guy's insane. But he also became one of the best friends I've ever had in my life. And got me through some of the hardest times of my life. And I've never regretted stepping foot in that school on that September day and going back in that fall of November 2011. And now 10 seasons down, 10 years in, 11 coming up, I wouldn't trade it a day for one bit whatsoever. And so I've been with Lyon County for 10 years, a full decade. And then the next year, got the opportunity of a lifetime when Marshall County Baseball and Softball wanted to do their region tournaments in 2012, because the next year we wanted to help out, because the baseball team had been chosen to go to Busch Stadium.
Right.
Beat in one of the high school games after a Cardinals game. So I got to go call a game in Busch Stadium and did that for 5 consecutive years. And I've been with the Marshall County Baseball and Softball teams ever since, calling 2 softball region championships back-to-back in 18 and 19, again, with no season last year, and hope to make it 3 in a row this year. And Marshall County Baseball here this year as well, doing fine, had a win against Graves County last time. I got to call in Mayfield and met a lot of great people. So now it's all encompassed. Like I said, I'm on the sidelines with Jeff Waters now, doing football, still doing soccer, doing Lyon County basketball, helping out with Marshall when Jeff can't and I can, and then doing Marshall County baseball and softball. And then in 2016, in the fall of 2016, I got the opportunity to do it at Murray State. I applied for the PA job for basketball at that time.
Right.
And then took over football a couple of years later, and still been doing that the last 5 years. And that's been a joy, because, again, I came in at a very special time. Second year of Coach Matt McMahon's tenure, brought in Jonathan Stark, Terrell Miller that first year. And even though it may not have the record they wanted, you could tell the talent was there. And then I'll never forget, in the 17, that was the 16-17 season. In the summer of 2017, you said, "Hey, Stark, you mean talk on the phone." And you may not even remember this. It's been, over almost 4 years now. You said, "Yeah, Stark, Miller's going to be back. We're going to be fine." I said, "Bring a lot of good guys." But you said, "This guy, this Morant guy, he's going to be a star." And I said, "Who?" And you said, "John Morant." I said, "Trust me, I've seen him. He's going to be great." And, of course, I didn't know if it was Ja or Jay at the time. I said, "This guy, it says Demetrius on the roster." But
whatever. Yeah.
So, anyway, I said, "Ja Morant, huh?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, he's going to be great." And I said, "Okay." So I passed the word. And I remember, I forget, I told my buddy, Zach Martin, I said, "This going to be great. And, of course, he watched him like his first game. Of course, as a freshman, backing up Miller and Stark and all that. He's like, oh, he looks all right, but he's not that special. So I've always told him, I said, yeah, that Morant guy, he's not that special. I mean, he was just NBA Rookie of the Year and all that. So I always said, boy, you really call that one great. So
well,
anyway, needless to say, I got to be a part of John Morant and him coming over and doing the opening PA announcement with me game after game his freshman and sophomore years.
Yep.
That's going to be a blast. I've kept those videos locked away to show the grandkids for years to come. So.
Yeah, it's funny. You've also now neatly encompassed everything that got you started from your radio situation in high school, your love of it growing up with your family, all the way to now, and a top memory with John Morant. It's crazy how you've summed up that decade and a half so nicely as well. You were 13, 14 years old. You were able to, kind of grow into yourself both physically and mentally. You got your first job opportunity really quick out of high school. And fast forward 14 years later, and you and John Morant are on the sidelines, just not that long ago, just a couple years ago, as a PA guy at Murray State University. It's funny that you say that about Ja, because, you know, I get asked a lot when I thought he was going to be a special talent, and you don't really know, you know, you hear coaches, you talk to coaches, you see some practice, you know, I have been privy to some practice opportunities back when you were actually allowed to do that, and, you know, I know what I saw with my eyes, but I also had been fed some information, you know, was talking to assistant coaches and head coaches who had beliefs. You know, so it's easy to feel that way. Coaches want to be like, yeah, this is the guy, this is the guy, this is the guy. You never want to look at a recruiting class or recruits and say, nah, this is a C-plus recruiting class. We don't have anybody that's going to help us here. But Ja was just one of those guys, particularly early on in practice, who just had a ton of energy. And every bad play, there were three good plays right after it. And so I just thought, for me, he was going to be really, really good. And he was going to help out immediately. And so when he stepped onto the court as a starting guard, I think a lot of people were surprised, but I wasn't one of them. I was like, okay, this is it. They're going to ride this guy, until he figures it out. And, by the second game, I thought he was already figuring things out. And I tell a lot of people, it was the Middle Tennessee game, and that was a loss actually in the 2017-18 season. It was the Middle Tennessee State game. Early on, Nick King, Kermit Davis was still, you know, the coach of the Middle Tennessee, you know, the Blue Raiders at that point. Heck of a game. I believe it finished like 76-72, something like that. You have to go back and look at the box score. Yes. But it was early on in the game, Jonathan Stark had a jumper that he missed. And I've told a lot of people this story, but I it's worth telling again. Jonathan Stark missed a jumper in the lane. He didn't miss too many of those, about a 15-footer, and it caromed off the rim. And instead of Nick King or one of those big post guys, Giddy Potts was also really active in the lane a lot of times on offensive rebounding and defensive rebounding. Instead of one of the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders getting the offensive or getting the defensive rebound, Ja went up as a freshman and basically jumped over a dude's shoulders and put an offensive rebound back for a dunk. And I thought, and that was as a freshman at, you know, essentially 6'1", 6'2", 6'2", and 165 pounds. And I said, okay. And I was right underneath the basket when he did that, and that was early in the game, fired up the crowd. I was like, okay. I said, this kid's got some special skills. That's an intangible that you can't really teach in a practice. You don't teach, oh, hey, listen, can you go jump over this guy 15 times and put a rebound back for a dunk? Can you just do that in practice? You just don't do that in a practice situation. And he did that. And I was like, yeah, this guy's going to be pretty good. And then, you know, 34 games later, he averaged 12-6-6, which was, you know, unheard of, not just as a freshman, but as a college point guard in the last 25 years of college basketball. So, you know, of course, the rest is history, and we could, you know, John Morant is his own podcast. But it's funny that you've summed that up. You went from high school to where you are now. I want to ask you a quick question about that. You obviously, your WCBL and other sister radio station opportunities, they all came together as like a family-like situation. Walk us through how you were able to get the opportunity at Murray State University for both basketball and football, because that was a different thing altogether. How did you get on the sidelines to become the voice of those situations?
Yeah, very fortunate, of course, knowing, you know, a lot of people in the radio business, that also correlates over to the media department with Dave Winder and Brock Rydecki and guys like that, and Neil Brandley, knowing those guys. But what had happened was, after Paul Racky had left, Paul Racky was there for almost 30 years, calling memories right. of basketball and Murray State football. Great family friend to me, so I knew him personally. He retired and moved to Alabama. Well, I didn't apply the first time. People said, oh, you ought to apply. You ought to apply, because when I was in high school, I did PA for Callaway, and my voice was more suited for PA, being just loud. I'll be honest about it, just being loud and using my speech and debate of articulation and enunciation. They said, you ought to apply for that. You could do this. And I said, oh, no, because I was busy. You know, of course, it's the radio station calling ball games, and it had taken away from that. But 2 years later, it comes open again in 2016. And then at this time, I was pretty much forced to by my wife at the time, Tiffany, said, I want you to do this. So I wanted to make her proud. So I said, I'll apply. And I did. And lo and behold, I got the job. I mean, it was just, I was just shocked. I mean, all I did was I did my tapes. I sent in my resume. I mean, I went and through all the processes, did everything I could to make sure I get the job. But even with that,
right.
like everybody else, I didn't think it would necessarily be me, but they brought me in. That time, Alan Ward was the AD. Amy Wyatt was the marketing director, and Brock Rydecki, who's still in charge of the facilities, they brought me in. They set me down in an empty CFSB center. I'll never forget, in like August or September of 2016, and I read through a script with some canned music in the background, what I like to call the campaign starting lineup song. They used that for many years whenever campaign came in, and Amy Wyatt loved that music. I'll never forget, we used that until about 2 years ago. She loved that opening theme for the starting lineup, and I just went through the lineup and went through everything, and they said, you got the job. And I said, okay. And so I took over doing basketball in 16. Logan Stout, who's a good friend of mine, was doing football at that time.
Right.
He did it for a couple of more years, but he was trying to move on. He had a family, kids, another job, and he necessarily couldn't do it all the time. So I started filling in for him, really, that next year. I was already doing football in 2017, a game or two here or there. And really the fun part for me, and I love doing PA, but I love radio. Came now 3 seasons ago. This has been my 3rd season when good friend of mine and my former weightlifting coach and athletic director at Callaway County and now in the board office, former principal at Southwest Elementary and former Murray State racer, Josh McKeel, said, hey, I don't need to be on the road all the time. I don't mind doing color commentary for the football games at home. Maybe you need to find somebody to do on the road. So,
right.
And I'll never forget Steve Harrell, who, of course, is formerly with Murray State Athletics, went to bat for me there and told Dave Liner. Dave said, that's a good idea. And I had already been with Jeff Waters. Jeff and I would go and fill in for Neil whenever he would have to go call a basketball game late in the football season. We'd end up going to Tennessee Tech or SEMO, something like that, to call it. So Aaron's got the experience. Why don't you let him do color commentary for Murray State football? And that's taken me to places I never thought I'd be. You know, I got to call a game at Kroger Field in Lexington. I've got to call a game in the Glass Bowl at Toledo. I've got to call a game at the Purple Field of Central Arkansas. And probably the biggest stadium, of course, I got to call a game in Athens at Georgia at Sanford Stadium with the Murray State program. So, and like I said, I love basketball, but there's nothing quite like a Saturday in the South with college football, and especially those big names like in the SEC, like in Georgia. That's just an unreal feeling to be in that environment and getting to broadcast the game, something you watch and listen to growing up as a kid. So
yeah.
That's been a very, very fun aspect for me, only because I got in with the PA. I then got to be able to do the radio with Neil. So it's been a blast.
Yeah, no, it's funny. One of the things that, you know, I hope maybe this is a learning tool for listeners is just to keep working, you know, and to constantly network yourself. I don't mean by network, I don't mean schmooze and booze. I mean like, you know, just work and work. I think are the two words that I think about the most. Obviously, you went to Murray State during that time. I actually met you in a summer class. The very first time that I met you, I believe was the summer of either 2006 or 2007. The timing escapes me.
It was the early fall of 2007.
Yes, that's right.
Out of that summer, and we got a class together in a journalism class, for that matter. And
yep.
I believe it was with John Dillon, the late John Dillon, who was a great professor at Murray State University. And I met you in one of my first journalism classes because you're, even though you look younger than me, you have a few years senior on me. You, of course, had come back to Murray State, and I had just started at Murray State, and we met in that journalism class with John Dillon. We've been friends ever since. So.
Yeah, no, that's right. You and I also had a summer class together, though. We did public speaking with Cheryl Lidsey. Like,
yeah,
that's,
we did
that's,
that as well.
We did that. That's the first memory that I have because we had to hear, we had to talk. We had to get up in front of class and do 2 minute extemporaneous, 3 minute extemporaneous. Well, you know, you were allowed to have notes, but you had to prove that you could publicly speak about specific subjects. And that is the first time that I remember hearing your voice and thinking, man, this guy is 50 years old and seasoned and ready to go. And come to find out you were just like 19,
or whatever it is.
Yeah, 18, 19 years old. And I was, you know, 22, 23. So, you know, it's wild. It's crazy, but it's crazy that you know, I mean, that's just radio voice is what it is. You know, when you have it. And when you don't, you don't. And, you know, sometimes it's just a God given gift, you know, when you have that type of a situation. And you, my friend, I think particularly have it. You've been doing it for a long time and I know you continue to develop it, and what a network of radio stations there are here in Western Kentucky. If you're not listening to Jeff Waters, you're listening to Jeremy Rose. If you're not listening to him, you're listening to Joe Jackson, Brett Larimer, Corey Bowles, Eric Chumbler, Vince Dawson. The list goes on and on and on. And I mean, and I could add even more. I mean,
you
got
Jeremy Bell with you.
Neil Bradley. I mean, you know, Josh McKeel does a great job as color for football.
Yes, he does.
Kenny Roth does such a great job, you know, with Neil for men's basketball. And like I said, we go back to Jeremy Rose with women's basketball at Murray State. Like you just name, and I know there's radio personalities I'm not even mentioning right now. Eric Chumbler always particularly has a lot of great color, commentators. As a matter of fact, Brett Larimer just picked up Darren Pursley over the last couple of years, for basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and so on and so forth, and now it's helping out with baseball, for Tillman. So it's just like, you take a look at the press row, so to speak, of radio in Western Kentucky. And of course, I'm not even, you know, I haven't even jumped into the second region. That's just the first region, the second region's voices, for local radio and Scott Brown and so on and so forth is just absolutely, you know, Jeff Sisk in Hopkinsville. You know, it's just, the mind-boggling the amount of radio talent that exists in Western Kentucky, just this side of Hopkinsville, and will be that way for years to come, and it's just wild. Like I said, I'm sure there's somebody's name that I'm even missing right now, just right off the top of my head. But just you think about the radio personalities that all exist in Western Kentucky, and you're one of them. You know, you've become part of that pantheon. Of the radio. The radio is so important. You know, it's one of those things that I have mentioned time and again. You know, newspapers run when they can. Television runs when it can. You know, when it can. But like radio is just always there, you know, and it's just one of those things that's extremely important in the value of community journalism. And you get to be a part of that.
And I'm so grateful to be, as you mentioned, all those guys. The reason those guys are there is because they work hard. People don't realize how great of a slew of guys and girls they have on the airwaves this side of the state to broadcast high school sports and small college sports as well, because we've got guys and girls that could call on a professional level that put in the time. You don't realize how good they are until you get out of the area, and nothing against those other individuals, but sometimes they're just guys and girls off the street that get pulled into that situation and not necessarily have the experience or the enthusiasm for those sports that they are calling. Where these guys and gals, they are doing a fantastic job. Each and every night, you don't understand how good you've got it until you go somewhere else and realize, hey, we got some of the best around here, and we do. Region 2, Region 1, and I've been a part of it. Every guy and girl you've mentioned, I know all of them personally. That's what's been amazing, because it is a family. It is a camaraderie, because radio is such an old-school avenue. And, yes, it gets knocked some of the times and, you know, kind of passed by in the way of technology. But small-town radio and small-town sports have always went hand-in-hand with one another. And I'll be forever grateful for it, because it's kept me in a job and it's kept me going through, again, some of the roughest times I've had without that. Don't know where I'd be. Don't know who I'd be. I mean, like I said, this has been the best thing, the worst thing, the happiest, saddest times I've ever had have all been encompassed by my life in the radio world, and specifically in high school and college sports on the radio. And I'll be forever grateful for that.
Yeah. And I kind of want to jump into that. Obviously, you're coming into a situation where some very bright moments are ahead, and you had some very bright moments behind. But, you know, here in a week, you know, you're going to get married to Julie Cassidy. It's a, you know, really going to be an awesome time and an awesome situation for you, and your family. And I know for Julie, she's just as excited, That's what happens when you're about to get married. There's a lot of, you know, energy and emotion that goes into that, and it should. I very vividly remember asking my wife, Erin Carrico, to marry me, and then that year and a half build up and so on and so forth, and finally culminating to the celebration of life and the future that you're going to have together. You have mentioned, you know, Tiffany Shimwell Clayton, you know, numerous times throughout the last hour that we've talked. In 2018, you know, she unfortunately passed away, in the light of your life, in the light of a lot of people's lives. I remember very vividly meeting Tiffany. I met Tiffany actually, right after I met you, not knowing the two of you were married, not intentionally, but just, I was working on news stories for the Murray Ledger and Times. And of course, Relay for Life is a really important facet of local communities here in Western Kentucky as they battle all types of cancer. And so, you know, her being the chair at the time of Murray's Relay for Life, Callaway County's Relay for Life, she obviously was a contact for me. And I knew her as a news associate before I even knew that she was married to you. And once that all came together in those early years for me at the Ledger, it was extremely, it just made all the sense in the world. If you don't mind, because I kind of understand some of the emotions you've gone through in a somewhat similar way, what has it been like for you to have local sports nurture you and help you through what naturally was a very difficult time, not just for you, but for all of Western Kentucky?
Yeah, it goes back, of course, when I married her in 2011, met her in 2006, and a sweet woman that you could have never, ever seen her with a disappointment on her face, and right. She always was a very intense woman as well, though, very independent, but very caring, and never wanted to show any of her struggles. She had been diagnosed with brain cancer, a rare form of it, in 1998 as a child. Battled through, they didn't think she survived then, didn't know her at that time, and then got to meet her through her brother, who I was a good friend with, and Worth, in the fall of 2006, and, you know, friendship blossomed and turned into an engagement, a marriage, in 2011.
Right.
She was healthy at the time, and again, but big thing for her as a cancer survivor was Relay for Life. That was a big thing. I was the MC for Relay for Life in Murray for many years, helping her. She was the survivor chair. The big thing she was in charge of making sure the survivors got their T-shirts, got their medallions, got notice, got a meal, you know, got on the track or in the barn or wherever we were in the church. We, you know, traded venues so many times from Roy Stewart Stadium to Callaway County High to the Expo Center and some of the other venues over the years, but that was her main love. Now, she did love sports, but nowhere near the passion that I had for them. She enjoyed Murray State. Like I said earlier, I applied for the Murray State job because she loved Murray State, and when I loved Murray State, but I knew that made her proud, and she was very, very tickled that I got that job.
Right.
But, and again, she was so happy for me that I had sports to do in my profession. She knew that meant a lot to me, and she loved being around her family and had that time with her. When I couldn't be with her, she'd be with her family very close to them. But in the February of 2018, she had a cerebral hemorrhage, and the brain bleed, we found out what it was caused by the return of a tumor that never truly went away, that they could not completely removed from 20 years prior. Matter of fact, it was almost 20 years from the date it came back from the first time that she had the surgery to begin with. And that brain bleed, in all honesty, probably should have ended her life in February of 2018, but she battled, went through radiation treatments again, went through some of the most ungodly, unbearable pain you'd ever could imagine, with trigeminal neuralgia down her face, went through just unbelievable times that no person, your worst enemy, should ever go through over roughly an eight-month period, and really seemed to be somewhat on the mend, had lost some feeling, had lost some muscle memory due to the radiation treatments and the pain that she had received and the strokes essentially in her brain, but she was at least functioning, and luckily for her, got to see the birth of her niece, her brother's daughter, and was there for the first 6 months roughly of her life and got to help nurture her. She didn't have to go back to work. She couldn't return. She had to spend time with her mother and her niece. So, again, in December 2018, she was actually a week or two from away from going back to work, where she worked at the local Farm Bureau agency here in Murray. And I had called a game that night in Eddyville. It was a Lion, never forget, it was a Lion Livingston game. I remember Gabe Board went down with a knee injury that night, and it was just a kind of a sad night there to begin with. And I remember Jeff Doom said, "Hey, tell that pretty lady back home we appreciate you, you know, letting us have you." And so anyway, of course, I would call her before the game. She was fine when I did with her folks, been texting with her. And when I called back after the game, she didn't answer. And I just had a sense, you know, I mean, people had just talked to her within 30 minutes, but I just had a sense that something wasn't right. Yeah. And so I saw my good friend Zach Martin, who was still in Murray after a Callaway ball game. I said, go over to the house. And he went over there and found out. Yeah, of course, at that time, she was still breathing, but you could tell that a medical episode had happened. Called an ambulance immediately. It hadn't been no time, but even with that, she had another stroke, this time much more severe, a cerebral hemorrhage, and there was no way to recover from this. She had lost all brain activity and function, even though we took her immediately to the ER, took her to Vanderbilt, did everything possible, but the next day she passed away at the age of 35 on December the 5th of 2018.
Right.
I remember that was on a Wednesday. Of course, the rest of that week, planning the funerals and everything of that nature, and that all culminated on that next Sunday with her funeral. And just the outpouring of love and support from all the sports I called. I'll never forget, you know, I've never seen a mass of humanity in the First Methodist Church in Murray only two times. One is when we got married, and one is when we had her funeral. And the first time, you know, was just people that just knew us. Second time, I built those relationships with all those individuals in Marshall County and Lyon County and Murray State, and people that had come. I remember there was like ice and sleet the night before. It was in December. People still came from Marion. Radio guys from Marion came. Taylor Sparks, who you know from Katie's, drove all the way from Hopkinsville to be there. He was a UHA coach. I never forgot that. And, of course, all the Lyon County folks and all of the people from Marshall County and all the people from Murray State that showed up and was there with me over those 2 days period. I'll never forget that because of how much, I guess, like you said, working, putting in and truly having an emotional connection to those individuals and the time I put in, they felt that too and felt that they needed to support me as well. And the next day, it was a Monday, I'll never forget, I went right back to work. There was no way I couldn't. I had to have that to be able to keep me going and to be able to allow me to just kind of have some sense of normalcy. So I drove to Morganfield in Union County the next night. I'll never forget that. And called a Lyon County boys basketball game. My buddy Zach went with me and Wes went with me. And they were all there. I'll never forget, even on the weekend of the funeral, Jeremy Rose filled in for me for a couple of games at Lyon County. And Lyon County played at Crittenden County. Now, tell me about this. Lyon played at Crittenden County. And I met a lot of friends at Crittenden County, the Hodge family there that coaches the basketball teams.
Right.
And also helped out with different teams. But on the road at Crittenden County on a Friday night, the night before her visitation, they wear red ribbons in honor of brain cancer awareness. The cheerleaders for Crittenden County, for me, in Marion, 65 miles away from Murray, just to do that, to send that out, not just the Lyon County people, but the Crittenden County people. And they have a moment of silence for her at the Crittenden County Rocket Arena. And just the people that just came up to me from all over Region 1 and 2 over the next months or so really kept me alive and kept me going without a doubt. Because, and you, of course, included in that, all people here in Murray and Marshall County, but people that came from miles away that had only known me for so long. And I'll never be able to forget that, and I'll never forget that as well, because that kept me going. And I called those basketball games at Lyon County, and then it went into baseball and softball, and I'll never forget that. And it just kept me going. I realized, and I needed to move on with life. She would have wanted me to move on with life. She told me that multiple times, even before she got sick, and I said the same to her, that she wanted me to live. And, of course, that takes time in the grieving process and mourning. For anything. Nobody knows how to grieve. And don't ever let anybody, I know it's getting off sports, but don't ever let anybody tell you how to grieve. You've been through a situation. You take as much time or as little time as you need. It's not anybody else's decision on telling you how to grieve or how long you should grieve or what you should do or what you shouldn't do. It's not their decision. It's your decision. And sometimes even you don't know what you're thinking or doing. So they definitely don't know. So keep that in mind. If you ever go through a tragic situation, we all will, unfortunately, as that's part of life. But went through a couple of years of just, you know, being by myself, still calling the games. Those kept me going, but I realized that I needed to be able to move on and start my life. And I always wanted to have a family. And luckily, in June of last year, late May, early June, I'll never forget, I got a message actually in May starting from Julie Cassidy. Now, Julie and I have been friends all our lives. Julie.
Right.
And I grew up together. As we mentioned, I go back to my grandfather that got me into sports. He was a deacon at New Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Benton, where her father was also a deacon at New Zion Missionary Baptist Church. And he was also a local dentist, which he still is, in Benton, and always a close friend. She was a great athlete. Julie, until this past year, when Gracie Howard broke her record, She was the all-time girls basketball leading scorer at Christian Fellowship School. But that did get passed this past year by, and still, and Gracie's such a great player, just a freshman this past year at Christian Fellowship, but was a basketball player, volleyball player, softball player. Christian Fellowship played on softball travel teams with my cousin, so I knew her. Went to church with her all my life up until my adult years. And then when we became adults, you know, we started, you know, growing apart, as with anything. She went off to Western Kentucky. She was a couple of years older. I was at Murray State. She came back. But again, started her own life and business. I had my own life. And, you know, times went by, but she always, we run into each other every now and then. And so finally she, of course, being, you know, the better woman and reached out to me because I'm thick-headed and never really know what somebody's truly. When it comes to a woman, I can read people. If it's anything but a relationship, I can read it. But if it's my own personal relationships, I'm like, is that what they really mean?
No, I was anyway, I was the same way with Aaron, man. Go on, but I completely agree.
No, I understand. But anyway, so she reached out, and I'll never forget. Of course, it's during the pandemic, so nothing's really going on. So she reached out to, you know, ask about, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals. She was a big fan about their season finally getting started. And then also about, and I'll never forget, the Last Dance documentary came out. So she messaged me about that, about, because you know I love the Bulls and love Michael Jordan. And finally, you know, I thought maybe she's just checking in and being a nice friend. But so anyway, you know, I really didn't know. And so finally, you know, in early June, she messaged me, hey, I don't know where you're at. You know, don't want to, you know, sound forward or anything. I don't want to offend you. But if you'd like to go out sometime, that'd be great. And I said, absolutely. And so we went out June the 7th on a Sunday afternoon, took her to LBL. We just kind of just sat and talked, just really enjoyed the day. And went and played golf at Maggie's, which I now live beside in Gilbertsville. And so anyway, and I just kind of went through old family cemeteries and all the other goofy stuff that, you know, normally wouldn't be a typical first date. But we knew each other. You know, we had already gotten over that long time ago, the you know, getting over each other, knowing each other stage. You know, we already knew all that. And, you know, and she's already a couple of years older than me, so we're in our 30s and kind of knew what we wanted. And there was no doubt, without a doubt in my mind, that God put me back in her path, and she put herself back in mine, because I mean, she is the greatest thing that could have possibly happened to me at this time in my life. I'll never ever be grateful enough to the good Lord above for putting her back, because it was the perfect time. You know, I wondered, would it ever be the right time? Would I ever get back, you know, in the swing of things? And would I just be by myself? And that was, you know, if I was, so be it. You know, I've come to a kind of a contented stage of that.
Sure.
But, you know, I grieved, and you know, been a couple of years at the time. And so anyway, she reached out and we, you know, took things slow, and I'll never forget just how grateful she was to seemingly be around me, be happy to be around me, took her time with me, understood everything, and just knew that this is the woman that I needed to spend the rest of my life with and start a family with. So again, it all goes back to family. I take her over to meet people in Lyon County, Jeff Doom and Dina Doom, his wife and their family, and it all comes, she starts meeting a lot of those folks, and Bruce and Angelique, close family with Jeff and Dina Doom, and it all leads up to November the 14th, which was Meet the Lions. Now, at that time, we didn't know when the high school basketball season was really going to start.
No, we really didn't.
Yeah, we kept getting pushed back. But we were going to go on and have a modified Meet the Lions virtually. You know, people couldn't attend, but they could watch it on Facebook and listen to it on the radio to at least honor the kids. So we got something out of it, whether we had a season or not. So we did that, and all the kids were there. All the student athletes, all the coaches were there, all the parents were there. That was it. It was coaches, parents, players, and us. And she came in. It was the first time she really got to see a gym since she had played. And I knew that that was the place. I said it specifically, you know, put the video on Facebook. A lot of the kids there were taking pictures and videos. I said, you know, you're my family, and I want her to be a part of my family. So it was only the right place to ask her to marry me. So I asked her to marry me 25 feet on the right wing, off the basket there on the floor at Jason White Gym in Eddyville. And of course, to my enjoyment and surprise and amazement, she said yes. And, sure enough, in a week's time, we're going to get married at Benton First Baptist Church. And she loves running. That's another thing too. She put back in my, we've always had the connection because of sports, a lot of local sports. So she came to me to all these games. I said, you don't have to. She said, but I want to. And that means so much to me of her just being there and being there to support me. And I mean, like I said, she don't understand this. I know she thinks she does, but really doesn't understand how much that truly means to me to just be there and be supportive. So she got to come to all the Lyon County basketball games. She came to a lot of the Marshall County soccer games we were dating at the time, Marshall County football, and helped me out with some Marshall County basketball, and been to all these softball and baseball games for Marshall County. Got to come help me spot for Murray State football, though she knew really nothing about football, but she did great helping me, you know, spot for that. And she's always there. And I'm so grateful for her and so grateful that I get to start my life with her officially as husband and wife in a week and start a family. And like I said, I mean, everything happens for a reason. I've been through the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, Ed, and you've been there alongside me and been through a lot yourself. But without a doubt, I'm where I need to be right now with these local sports teams, with these young men and women, with the family I've made in the radio business and the local media business around here, and with her to start a family. And I talked to you, you know, back last year before really her and I even got together. And I said, Ed, let me tell you something. If in 20 years I'm still sitting around calling local basketball for Lyon County or for Marshall County, and I'm living out by the lake, and I've got a wife and kids, you don't worry about me. I'm living my dream. Well, sure enough, I'm still calling those games now a year later, but now
that's
I'm
right.
soon about to have a wife, and now I'm living out by the lake in Gilbertsville, right at Kentucky Dam. And, you know, sure enough, it's just funny how things work out, but they always do. And here we are a year later, and it's all coming to fruition.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. Two things that I picked out of all that, and that was obviously, you know, a very, very trying situation. It would have been, would be for anybody. And certainly, tribulations that are extremely frustrating and difficult to understand, maybe even to mentally comprehend. But it's funny that you mentioned the one thing that I thought, I wanted to laugh, but I was holding. When you said that she mentioned that she was messaging you about The Last Dance, I don't mean, I'm not, there are plenty of women who love sports, but it's not too terribly often that a woman who is interested in a man uses, like, hey, what do you think about The Last Dance? You know, what were your thoughts?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's not, like, you're, but you're right. Like, sometimes men are so dense, you know, and I was dense, you know, when Aaron was trying, you know, Aaron Carrico was, you know, interested in dating me. I was not interested in dating at all. And, she was like, well, why don't you come over for dinner? We'll watch some show, watch a show. You know, why don't you, let's have lunch. Let's do that. And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. You know, and I'm like, that sounds great. Cause food at the time sounded like a great idea. Food's always a great idea. And if you want to go hang out, we'll go hang out. And then, you know, all lo and behold, oh, I was interested in you and you were interested in me and I had no idea. So you just never know. Sometimes we just don't pick up on clues, man. That's just, you know, we're thick. We need something a little bit, you know, very forward, and upfront, being like, hey, would you like to go out on a date? Oh, that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
So, I have a very, I don't want to say similar, but I definitely, I can relate to sports healing, healing someone, through a difficult time. I experienced that in 2016. It wasn't a wife, it wasn't a girlfriend, wasn't anything like that. It was my brother, Matthew Marlowe, who, unfortunately took his life on August 24th, 2016. And, less than 24 hours later, I was at a doubleheader. For Marshall County, Callaway County, boys and girls soccer. I think you and Kyle were there, actually. Jim Nick Soccer Complex. And I had a lot of people come up to me and ask me, why in the heck are you here? You know, 24 hours later, because that was such a very, very difficult situation. You know, that was, you know, my brother for 29 years. And so, it was just one of those situations where I knew you mentioned it and it kind of resonates with me. You didn't know what else to do but to go back to work because it was the right thing to do for your mentality. It was the right thing to do for your headspace. And you knew it was a safe place to be, because it could keep you from some bad decisions, so to speak. And not just even bad decisions, but just bad thoughts, bad, you know, frustrating things. Now, I'm not necessarily even talking about the difficulty of, you know, of dealing with, you know, dark nights and dark thoughts. I'm talking about just your day-to-day life. How do you get back into the rhythm of things? Well, you just get back on the horse. And so I think about it a lot. Someday I may write about it, but I think about, and you'll know this, I'm going to describe this, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You know how the sky in Callaway County is always painted during a soccer game right at the twilight of Jim Nick's soccer complex? You know exactly what I'm talking about. The reds, the yellows, the purple, the blue, that always, like, is just a swipe of the watercolor almost along the backside, right along the backside of the baseball stadium. But that's where, if you're on the sidelines of the soccer teams, which is where I typically was for good light to shoot photos, you just look over out over the, over the stands where the fans sit and behind you. I think every soccer player in Western Kentucky knows about how pretty the Callaway County skyline is at that point, because during that time of year, fall is about to set in and the colors are just so beautiful. And like I said, that was August 25th, 2016 for that doubleheader. The Callaway girls, that was a good Marshall County team. They lost 7-0, and then that boys game was amazing. And Marshall County came away with the sweep, and Marshall won 2-1. And that was a great Callaway team. That was such a great game. I remember those games, but I remember that sky more than anything. And, I was not okay. I was not okay. And I still, you know, I think of my brother every single day. But it's one of those situations where in that moment, being at that doubleheader, and the days thereafter and the months and the weeks and everything that's transpired since then, I have felt at least some sort of calming peace that there would be, some sort of, comfort that comes with, you know, local sports, some sort of comfort that comes with being in these arenas, being with people and watching communities grow. And, you don't forget Tiffany. I don't forget my brother, and you continue to grieve them in the ways that you need to grieve them. And you move forward. And that was something else that resonated with me too, when you said that, you know, don't ever let anyone tell you how to grieve. You're exactly right. You know, everybody grieves in different ways. You know, some people have to shut down and reset at home. Some people have to, you know, at some point everybody shuts down and resets in their own way. And, you have to let them do that. That's how that works. That's how the body gets through such an emotional process. And yeah, no, I just, the way you brought that up, I think makes complete sense. I'm glad you said it. I think a lot of people needed to hear it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you, Ed. Like I said, appreciate somebody. You mentioned Kyle Johnson. He's been a great friend of mine, not only in the way of helping me out with soccer. Again, we were brought together, unfortunately, with the death of a close friend, and Kyle Rogers, who was killed in a terrible explosion in Marshall County years ago. And then we knew each other through that, and he said, I want to help you out with soccer. I played soccer at Marshall. I said, I'd love to have you. Now, like I mentioned, Jeff Doom, my wedding, he's going to be at my wedding next week, too. I mean, like I said, I couldn't do it without any and all these guys that have been close to me to the radio. I mean, another guy, Brian Anderson, will be at my wedding. I met him because he came down to the radio station to help with engineering stuff. So, and then the other two is Zach and family. So, I mean, it's all family, but it's all three of the five are tied back to radio. So, I mean, that's what we did this podcast about, with my life and radio, and how it became a part of my life and family. And without it, I wouldn't be where I'm at today and wouldn't be talking to you. And been grateful for this time. I'm sorry, I know we kind of went over your normally allotted time limit, but it's been an absolute blast, my man. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I really appreciate it. We've covered the gamut. And listen, I'll have you back again at some point, and we'll have even more sports to talk about and more things to talk about. Just from a local standpoint, where things are headed for the summer and where we're going to look into the 2021-22 school year, where we think we might actually have a little bit of normalcy and things start to get back into their original time slot in the sports world. Aaron, I really appreciate the time. Have fun this next week, and we will see you next Saturday at First Baptist Church in Marshall County.
Thank you. I appreciate it, everybody. Thank you.